I always said that it would take an earth-shattering event, an earth-shaking event, to cause me to break from my plan of finishing the stimulus package series in one swoop, episode after episode after episode. And as I sit here recording this podcast, the earth is still vibrating. The recent spike, and by recent, the last roughly 10 years, but the recent spike in media coverage surrounding the civil rights abuses faced by black people in America extend beyond the killings of black people at the hands of cops. They also cover the civil rights violations faced by black people at the hands of everyday white people, as well as cops. And in a place where the world is dealing with COVID-19, and all the stresses that that brings to the table, the geopolitical instability caused by an American president that other countries don't like, don't respect, the elevation of underground white nationalist ideas to the mainstream of governments around the world. With all of that on the table, this seems like that pushback moment that a lot of liberals were waiting for. Protests during this administration have been largely, well, they've been extremely large. We'll say that. And international protests have been world-shaking, starting with the Women's March that saw more than 10 million people all over the world unite against a misogynistic bend that many believe Trump represents. The March for Science drew hundreds of thousands of people, and they responded to the rejection of science, a view that many believe was also spurred by Donald Trump and the ideas that he represents that were becoming prevalent in so many nations all over the world. And that's just to name two of the large marches and protests that have occurred. People are hopeful that this one that is currently happening will be different. And I share that hope. I hope it will be too. But I don't know that it will. Protests create lasting change when they are built on the backs of a large body of community building and stage setting, and they inspire political participation and activation. They also typically only lead to small changes because they're usually demanding something from someone else. And that person may acquiesce, but they aren't going to give up everything, and a compromise must be made. Leverage comes into play. And this movement is being built on the support of allies and white liberals that have traditionally rocked with us only to sell us out later. It happened at the end of slavery, when white abolitionists declared that their work was done because they didn't consider black people to be equal to whites. They just didn't believe that they should be slaves. The great armies of the North would turn away escaped slaves at the start of the war, the Civil War, the War of the States, sending them back to their slave masters in the South, at times with an armed escort. It happened when, at the end of Reconstruction, when white liberals agreed to leave the South in the hands of conservatives, ushering in a rollback of the Reconstruction gains, and an era of black codes would ensue. The period that some people refer to as the Jim Crow era. It happened at the end of the Civil Rights Movement, when white liberals started using the image of Asian Americans as the model of minority achievement that could be achieved by assimilation. At every turn, the same group of liberal whites that are marching now have left us when it was beneficial or easy for them. And as I said earlier, I do believe a lot of this is just a stick it to Trump thing, a stick it to conservatives thing. As for the youth, be careful. There are a lot of nefarious actors present that would co-opt the energy and use it for other things. And we're seeing this with the riots and murders. Plan appropriately. Also, have a plan for the long-term goals you want to achieve, as well as the short-term goals. The organization that sponsors us, that we talk about frequently, PAX Inc., has those plans and is willing to share what we have been working on and doing for the past 5 years with anyone that is willing to do the work in the community. Everyone has their lane. Everyone has their level. Everyone can be useful. In your quest for justice for Floyd, don't forget about all of the others, those that have happened since, and those that were killed before. Those that weren't killed at all, but were otherwise brutalized and had their rights violated. Don't let this movement center around a single person and a single narrative. And I say that as a participant in the movement, watching what a lot of young people are saying and doing right now. Making this thing about a single person and a single narrative, that's what they're going to try to do. Keep bringing up the numbers and reminding them that it's bigger than one person. It's bigger than one incident. Transition some of your energy into black progress, even if your main goal remains white progress. Learn the difference. Keep your head up and know that you have help and support from within your community. And always keep moving. I hope that things change. I hope that things get better. I hope that a lot of you get the response from the white communities and the governments that you're looking for. But I will hope that you would hedge your bets against anything that would otherwise come by remembering to devote some of that energy into black causes and into black spaces, because it is sorely, sorely needed. I'm not going to put out a major long show today or anything like that. I'm not going to play the intro music and go into a show now. I just wanted to make a statement to show that I do stand behind what's happening right now. I do stand behind people that are finally doing whatever it is they feel that they need to do to make something positive happen. And I really do hope that something positive happens. But as I said before, I'll say it again and then I'll leave it. Don't let all of your goals rest on the conscience and the ability of other people to change the way they feel about you.